This is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
Stop with the f***ing booing.
Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050. Making your drive home a lot more fun.
Hour 2, Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan around the table. Ray Ferraro will join us here in a moment, our TSN hockey analyst. Dirk Hayhurst later in the hour on the Jays struggles, and Josh Donaldson not happy with his teammates and the performance of the team.
Might have to have a roundtable discussion with the NFL draft coming up. You had an OHL draft. NHL draft, Ray had an NHL draft, myself. If there's one guy that you thought was going to be like a blue chip, surefire prospect that just fell out of the sky and did nothing, can you remember back to your OHL year where you were like, this guy is going to be an NHL stud and couldn't even get it done in the O?
I'm trying to remember who went in the first round. Like, my year would have been, like, my underage year was Spezza going first. So he worked out pretty well. I don't remember who went second. I think it was Jay McClement went second my year. So he had a pretty good career.
Yeah, I don't think you're right. Do you know who went second? Our buddy.
No, he went third. He went to St. Mike's.
Who's that?
Jeff Doyle.
Our man.
Our main
Jeff
man.
Doyle?
Yep. Jeff went third to St. Mike's. McClement went second to Brampton. And Spezza went first to Mississauga. They were all in the GTA.
And Doyle never... Did he play pro?
I don't think he ever went
American
anywhere.
American League.
Yeah, I guess he would have been kicking around in the American League, yeah. And that I couldn't tell you who else went. But there are always guys like that. You hear about kids, you hear about players where it's like they're can't-miss guys and just never materialized, never works.
I played with a few in junior where I thought they were going to be the greatest players in the NHL and just didn't work out. And then you played with or against guys that were like, no, that guy will never play, and they have 15-year careers.
Well, and you can go a step beyond that. You think, like, once you get to the OHL, you're 15, 16, 17. Think about how ridiculous it used to be when you were 10, and people were like, oh, that guy's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he's 10.
Well, like, it's because the parents build him up.
Yeah, but when you're in a league, like I played in the MTHL, and we all grew up together, and there were always kids that were, like, unbelievable players.
Right.
Never did anything.
No,
weren't even
right.
playing by the time we were 15. They're just, like, either sick of it or something went wrong, and see you later.
I agree. There was a guy in Bantam Hockey who was the same size when he turned pro than he was when he was 12. Needham.
Right.
Played a little bit for Pittsburgh, but never had a long career.
The flip side, Mark Giordano is a guy, I don't think he ever played with us in AAA growing up. And now Gio's the captain of the Flames. Matt Molson had to go to AA, I think, in midget.
Yeah.
Now he's
Matt
still
Molson
playing.
Went to AA?
I think he went down to AA. Yeah, he did.
Wow.
And now he's in the NHL. Let's bring in our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. Ray on Overdrive was a presentation of Sierra So Joint Formula 14. What's happening, Ray?
Not much. I was just thinking about two guys. One was Matt Reed. I don't think he was ever on any rep team, any selected team. Ever. And then all of a sudden he went to, I think, Bowling Green and had a great career, signed with the Flyers, and he's making a few million bucks a year. And then on the other side was Noodles, you were mentioning the guy you think's no good, and then he plays 15 years.
Yeah.
When I left junior, I remember the last game I played against Brian Scrudlin in junior.
Yeah.
You know, we knocked him out, and I was like, oh, thank God, I'm never going to see this guy again. And then he shows up in the same division. I hated playing against him. He was all elbows and slashes, and he was brutal to play against. He played for, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years?
Yeah, a long career. Good on draws, like just the details of it. Kind of like a little bit like Pat Flatley, just tough to play against.
Same guy, elbows, knees.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and I thought, like, I'll never see this guy again because, you know, of course, you always assume you're going to make it, whether you do or don't. But, and then, damn, he was everywhere. I hated it.
It's funny you mention his name because LeBron, for some reason, Pierre was tweeting about that brawl back in 87 between the Habs and the Flyers, like during warm-ups when Claude Lemieux, you know, shot on the net, and then the Flyers went out and beat the hell out of him, and then the teams came out of the rooms, and Skrudland was on the Habs, I believe, because I think I saw his name on the back of his jersey, and it's amazing you bring that up because I wanted to bring that up today for some reason, and I don't know why Pierre decided to tweet about it.
Well, it's because Corey Perry took a shot into the empty net last night.
Okay, that would be it.
And Carter Hutton stayed out and made the save. That's why it was.
Okay, so there you go. And he was saying, hey, different times, clearly, because these guys are kind of joking around. We're back in 87. Claude Lemieux was warned, don't shoot in our net at the end of warm-up. He did it anyway. Yeah. And there was a huge brawl before the game started.
The Flyers had Ed Hodgspodar in warm-up. He was not going to play. So when Lemieux shot it in the empty net, Boxcar Hodgspodar chased him down and started this brawl.
He pummeled Lemieux.
He wasn't even in the lineup. They're like, it was like putting the middleweight or the heavyweight champ of the world on the ice and saying, hey, when he shoots this thing in the net, go beat him up.
Well, and Nylon, I think, ended up maybe fighting him anywhere. I think it was Dave Brown he fought or something like that. And Brown didn't have a jersey on or anything, so Nylon's holding on for dear life. Like, you look back on that.
How many games would these guys get? They'd be kicked out of the league for that.
I think so. Like, it couldn't possibly happen now. But what was the funniest part of the whole thing, you got to find this clip on YouTube. It's hysterical.
The brawl itself?
The brawl. So the brawl's going on for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, the refs come out. The refs come skating out like, hey, boys, that's enough. We're good. 10 minutes into a team-on-team brawl.
I don't think there was Twitter back then or any kind of cell phones.
Well, they may not have heard about it, but you would think security or someone would show up and be like, can we? Because I guess what pushed it forward, they had been brawling for like 5 minutes, and then someone sucker punched Larry Robinson, and then everything went crazy again. And Bob Gainey was in there, and, I mean, that was not even 30 years ago?
The worst brawl I ever saw in pregame that I was in it because I was like, because you're just there, not like that I really wanted to be in it, but it was in the American League, and Ulf Samuelsson had shockingly stuck somebody from another team and knocked his teeth out in the previous game. And in warm-up, they came down to our end. They all had their buckets on, all strapped up, and we're like floating around in warm-up. And there's this brawl on the ice. I don't know how long it lasted, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. The cops showed up, and they brought a police dog on the ice. And the dog was like, I don't know what they thought the dog was going to do, but the dog was licking the ice and pawing the ice. And the refs, I don't know where they were, having a coffee or something. Nobody showed up. And eventually, I think the guys that were doing all the fighting just got tired. And that was it. It was like mayhem.
Well, that's what happened in this brawl. There had to be like diplomats on both teams. Like, you saw a couple of guys who weren't really fighting, talking to each other. I think Pooley was on. I think Pooley was the captain of the Flyers.
We should ask Pooley about it at some point.
I'll bet you Pooley was—he was probably starting it somehow. Pooley was probably talking to Gainey though after 10 minutes and saying, "All right, you go grab your guy. I'll grab my guy. We can't continue this. It's Game 6. I mean, we're trying to get to a Cup final here." But you know how today, when something crazy happens in a game, and then you build up the rematch, and it never materializes. It never happens. Like the dust up never happens the second round. Back in the day, it always happened. Like when
they would sleep on it too. Like when there was something vicious and violent that happened, I would think, okay, this is going to get real ugly, the rematch or the next game against that opponent. It would be like a sleepy night in February on a Tuesday night where you're down 4-1 in the third period. And you would see people, even the score, like you've never seen in your life.
Like the Hanson
out of the blue.
Brothers.
The Remember Hanson that time brothers. In November? Yeah. Well, here it comes. Now you're going to get it. And it was fun. It was not fun to watch.
Well, and those nights you could smell them coming, couldn't you? And you'd be like, I always remember looking around for somebody that if things totally got out of hand, that I could maybe grab onto and survive. Like, who is my size on that other team?
Oh, yeah. Who's the skill guy that does not want any part of fighting because I'm your best friend right now?
Right now, we are each other's lifeline.
That's crazy.
It's so true. I mean, and this is the NHL we're talking about, let alone junior or junior B or C. I mean, anyone that's played hockey at a level that, was a decent level where there would be some goons Like, I'm sure we've all experienced it, where you're in warm-up and you're like, you can feel it. Something stupid's happening. Something's going to go down.
Dude, I sat beside Stu Grimson on the bench, and he got the tap from Paul Maurice that his line was up. The shoulder pads came off and went underneath the bench.
I'm thinking, what, he took them off there?
On the bench, he took them off. I'm thinking, I don't think he really wants to score this shift. And sure as hell, he grabbed somebody and beat the living piss out of them.
I'm watching it right now. Dave Brown has come out with no jersey on.
Which is a greasy move, because he knows Nyland can't do anything about it.
This is insane.
I'll tell you what, that Chris Nyland was tough as nails, because he's not a big guy. Like, he's big enough, but Dave Brown looks like a giant compared to him.
Yeah. Somebody had a link out today, the 7 best fights in Hartford Whalers history, and one of them, Jim McKenzie, was feeding Nyland. And, I mean, just feeding him. The fight breaks up, not a mark on Nyland's face. I'm like, what was it made out of? Like, leather? Like, nothing, not even a cut. There was some great video on that stuff.
It's crazy. It really is. And when you think about how the NHL obviously had to clean up their act.
Yes.
Like, and they have, and they've legislated a lot of rules where this kind of stuff simply doesn't happen anymore. But I was thinking about that with the series starting tonight between the Caps and the Pens. And I don't think there's a lot of hatred between these two teams. Like, there's history between them.
Right.
There was a lot of hatred back in 09 and 10,
right.
11. Like, would it be a good thing for the league if Ovechkin and Crosby hated each other? Like, not, you know, we're competitive with each other, but actually you heard stories like, no, they can't be in the same room together.
I don't think they like each other that much, Brian.
No?
I don't know if there's any love loss. I think there's a mutual respect.
All right, if there was a dust-up tonight, the two of them.
There have been dust-ups in the past. You've seen them, you know. It hasn't been a full-out fight, but I honestly don't think they like each other that much.
Do you think that would be good for the league, though? Do you think Bettman, in a candid moment, would say, I'd sign off on a Crosby-Ovechkin fight tonight?
I'd like to know that if they really didn't like each other, that would take this up another 10% to start. And then you hope it just builds through the series. That's when the tension gets high. Isn't that when sports are best to watch?
Absolutely.
Like, in almost any sport, like, the Yankees hate the Red Sox, the Celtics hate the Lakers, you know, the Bruins hate the Canadians, the Leafs hate the Canadians. I mean, that's been forever. That's when the stuff is the best.
Although my tension went to sadness when Pedro Martinez grabbed Don Zimmer and chucked him on the ground.
Yeah.
That was a sad moment.
Even I know that, and I felt bad for
the Zimster.
He was crying after, right? He was really emotional.
Yeah,
right. My favorite part of that whole brawl was after, when they were interviewing Martinez, and he's like, Karin Garcia, who is he? Who's Karin Garcia? He's the guy you just threw a 90 fastball right behind his ear.
Yeah, Pedro was lippy, man. He was lippy. And the thing is about that Don Zimmer stuff, it was really tough to watch, but Zimmer should not have been running.
Well, yeah, why are you running out there to attack a guy
on
the mound?
You're an old man.
Yeah, and you're a bench coach. Like, the players have beef. What are you doing running out there and charging?
He looked like a water buffalo from the Flintstones, right? And we grabbed him on each side of his head. I don't know why the hell I'm laughing. I mean, the poor man was a baseball lifer and apparently super popular, but he grabbed him on each side of the dome there and pitched him into the turf.
Grabbed him by the ears.
Just tossed him aside like that, because his momentum carried him and he went flying to the left of the mound.
For a while. Like, he hit him with like the perfect plex. Like, he
it
got
was.
Him. And I think that's why Zimmer was so emotional, was like, he couldn't believe he put himself in that position where he lost his marbles and rage, like a raging bull went charging at a guy. Like, it was.
You want to call it charging? Is that what that was?
It was like
a bull ram, but Martinez just sidestepped him and just grabbed him by both ears and just almost like hip tossed him. I felt bad.
It was tough.
It is tough to watch.
It was tough. With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Someone was tweeting me earlier, and I was surprised that this was even a debate. Now, maybe you guys may see it as a debate. But he asked me, because he said him and his buddies are going back and forth arguing over who is the more entertaining player to watch play, Ovechkin or Sid. And I don't think this is debatable. Ovechkin, for me, is clearly more entertaining. Doesn't mean he's more productive or a better player. But for me, it's not even debatable. Do you guys see it any different? Would you pick Sid over Ovi in terms of entertainment value?
What's your pick? Is it Ovi?
Ovi all day. Just with the flair he plays with. You know, he hits guys. He scores more. For me, Ovechkin is more of a showman than Crosby.
I'll buy into that. I like Crosby better because I just like the Gretzky element to it where he finds everybody else and he makes those type of plays. But if you're looking for the pure entertainment value, it's got Ovechkin's going to give you that wow moment, which you very rarely see.
Yeah, I guess because he can do it in different ways, too. It can be a shot or a rush, or he could steamroll somebody. I'd say that. I think unpredictability is also part of excitement, and there's more unpredictability to Ovechkin for sure.
I like Sid sometimes where he just, through sheer hard work, will turn the puck over or spin off of somebody down low. I think from a skill set, just raw one-on-one, that type of handling the puck, I think that's very exciting. But Ovi's a bull in a china shop. He'll run, like, you want to play this game tonight? Yeah, I'll throw my 235 around, and I'll go right through you to the net. You want to play a finesse game? Yeah, I'll find the top shelf. For me, it's Ovi. But I think Sid's not far below
that. No, he's not. I mean, this isn't a shot at Crosby.
No.
I think we're talking about, for me, probably the most entertaining player in the league the past 10 years has been Ovechkin.
Right.
And we live in this world of five-second vines. That defines him, right? Like a bullet, a big move, a big hit, whatever it is. I mean, Ovechkin is just that kind of guy. You can't stop watching him.
Like, the best part for you here is you get to watch Kessel in this series, too.
Well, and Phil's
your guy.
Phil's been very good.
But he's your guy. You'd take him over Crosby.
He in this series, I might. I think Sid might get neutralized, and I have a feeling 81 might just step up big time. Well, I'm thinking Phil for the Conn Smythe is starting to become a real thing here.
Never know.
You never
he's
know.
Played well, and they use their speed well. That's the thing. Hagelin and Phil have fit in very nicely in Pittsburgh, especially under Mike Sullivan. Like, I think Mike Johnston, it didn't work out. It just didn't work out.
Do you think they're wondering in Anaheim why they didn't pull the Mike Johnston routine with Bruce Boudreau? Like, if they switched coaches, would they be in the second round right now?
See, I don't know what you guys thought watching the game, but in the third period, when you could see, like, Bruce's head getting redder and redder and redder, I'm like, I felt bad for him because I don't know what else he could have done.
Yeah.
As a coach, I don't know what else is another coach going to get out of that team? Like we were talking yesterday, I said, like, if Perry has no goals, I can't imagine them winning. You could be the best coach ever. If your best guy doesn't have any goals, how does that change with a new coach?
The only thing I talked about last night was he's got no goals. Maybe you start the game with him with Corey Perry and just load up on a top line to
you
try
mean
to
with Getzlaff, the two of them together.
Yes, whether it's Cogliano or throw Silverberg, try to load up to just get that feeling where every time he's on the ice, they're going to make something happen. But he waited until the middle of the second period for that. And can you point to that as the reason? I guess not. But I don't know.
The thing is, I think, always, like, he's lost every way. He's had Getzlaff and Perry together. He's had them apart. He's, like, man, you're like, again? I think they probably got to make a change just because.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought if they were going to make a change, it would have been in October or whatever it was. And then they were as good as anybody for most of the rest of the season. And then they come up short again. I'm almost at a loss to explain it, to tell you the truth.
Well, we were talking about teams' reputations, and I said in the previous hour, I think they've stolen the label from San Jose as the team that can't get it done and the team that chokes. Because when you look at what's happened with them the past 4 years, the rounds in which they've been knocked out, and some of them have been first round, some of them conference final,
right.
4 years in a row, they had a 3-2 lead in the series, and they lost in seven, and game seven was on home ice. 4 years in a row, up 3-2, and you lose in seven at home. Like, that is a shocking stat of a team that can't get it done.
I remember seeing some stat when a team was up 2-0 in a series, they won 86% of the time. And I'd love to know the number, I don't have it, of what it would be in the scenario you're talking about, Brian. Up 3-2 in the series with Game 7 at home. I wonder what the number is, what the percentage is. Because I think it would be incredibly high that you win. And then you've got these four losses here in a row that you're, you can't even explain it, really. Like, how do you, somewhere along the line, you got to win, don't you? And a couple of those games, like, they got, I think they lost to L.A. one year 6-1. Like, they just got pounded.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, you'd think of the 4 years they'd win one in Game 6. Like, they just close.
Yeah.
Let alone Finish Game 7 at home.
It's crazy, man.
Right? Like,
it's something's got to get
in a row. And that's why I think Bujo probably knows what's coming.
Yeah, but what about the GM? I mean, he can't just be thinking about the coach right now. The GM's got to be in trouble here as well, doesn't he, Ray?
I guess, because the team can't win. But,
no kidding.
Like, I want to... Jesus, did Bob Murray... He hired Boudreau, I think, right?
And stuck with Boudreau.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's had another coach yet, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he's hired two coaches. And given what regular season success they have, I can't imagine, or I can't think they're going to blow everybody out of there. I think if they indeed do fire Bruce, which, I don't know, seems, I don't know if likely or probable, whatever word you want to use, I think Bob Murray will get another opportunity to hire somebody else.
It'll be a fascinating offseason out there. I don't think there's any doubt.
I think he's got one bullet in the chamber, and that'll be Bruce.
And how about that? The great, you know, oh, you go through L.A. and you got to, or you go through California and you got to fight your way through those teams, and San Jose's the one left, the one that everybody's kicked in the shins for 5 or 7 years, and they're the ones left, and all of a sudden they're a favorite, probably a favorite against Nashville.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's amazing
how I agree.
The sporting world can play out. Enjoy it tonight, buddy, and we'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday, right?
It is.
Yeah, last day. And then I'm gone on Monday. So, you know, really bring something tomorrow, Brian. I'm kind of counting on you.
Yeah, I think I'm really going to prep. Like, I was winging it today.
Yeah,
I brought
we'll bring
up YouTube clips from 1987.
Yeah, we'll bring it. We'll bring it.
But it was pretty clear you were winging it, Brian. I mean, that's, you know, mail it in Thursday for you, sure.
It's the NFL draft tonight. I was basically just reading over 15,000 mock drafts last night.
There is nothing better than the NFL draft when the fans get a player they don't know, they don't even know who he is, and they lose their mind. I hope the Jets draft a punter.
So do I.
They just go crazy.
So do I. Our boy Matt Cause, who's on 9 to noon Monday through Friday here on TSN Radio, he's a diehard Giants fan. I guess when they took Odell Beckham Jr., he went nuclear. He was so mad. He's like, who is this guy? They don't need another wide receiver. It's so now he's like the best wide receiver in football. And he just went nuts, apparently. And sure enough, I'd say Odell Beckham Jr.'s played out probably the way you would hope he would.
Yeah, so, but the fans don't care. That's the entertainment
that's
value.
That's what's so beautiful about it. Enjoy it tonight.
Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you.
Ray Ferraro on Overdrive was a presentation of CRSO Joint Formula 14. The NHL Draft Lottery is taking place on Saturday night. Myself and the Nail Gun, Dave Naylor, will be in here from 6 to 9 p.m. TSN 1050's Draft Lottery coverage is brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans, the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Guaranteed.
Wrangler, real comfortable jeans. You guys want to hit the daily simulator?
Let's do it.
All right, let's hit it here.
Coming
up. The Maple Leafs won it yesterday. So
Another good feeling.
You're feeling positive again today.
Oh, not today.
I don't see the Maple Leafs. I think it'll be an American team that picks first today.
Arizona.
I'll go Buffalo. I don't know why. I feel like the flow may
Leafs.
Get lucky here. 3-2-1. Vancouver. They're right there.
Yeah,
like, they're absolutely in the mix.
Gross.
Maple Leafs picking second.
Laine.
Not bad. Patrick Laine and Arizona with the third pick. You wonder if Jim Benning could screw that up. Trade the top pick to Arizona, flip some things around. Everyone's anticipating Arizona will pay a boatload.
Imagine the Fergler with the first pick. We've decided, I can't confirm nor deny, we're trading the first overall pick for Thomas Vanek.
We want to win now.
Yeah.
Oleg Kavasha
and future considerations.
Yes.
I can't confirm or deny, but the future considerations.
will
be considerable.
Thank how you, are you, Fergler? I can't confirm nor deny how I'm feeling today. Just such a loser.
All right, the Jays just got swept. You talk about storming out on the field. Did you see John Gibbons last night?
He got tossed.
He was heated, and he got tossed.
I liked his strut out.
His strut, man, he had some...
He strutted out, like when he got tossed, when he walked through the dugout, he gave somebody a tap on the left knee, like letting him know, hey, I'm there for you, and then he walked out. He was choked.
He was quite rattled.
I liked it, though.
But I think he's more rattled at his team right now. They're striking out at a ridiculous rate. Yeah. All of a sudden, they can't hit. Estrada pitched very well, but they couldn't close. It just got swept. And everyone's asking, is it too early to panic? We'll discuss that a little bit. We'll get into Gibbons and chat a little bit about how Josh Donaldson, not happy with his teammates, not happy with the way the team is playing. So Dirk Hayhurst will join us. We'll get into the Blue Jays. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Dirk Hayhurst will join us here in a moment. Talk about the struggling Blue Jays. Just got swept by Chicago. And the White Sox have been very good this year. But the Jays not helping themselves. And Josh Donaldson was talking today about how his team, man, they got to prepare better. And there's no excuses for them playing the way they did against Chicago. And he's already starting to look at things and saying, hey, we can't keep saying it's too early. And I find it somewhat humorous that people are asking other people, is it too early to panic? If you're asking that question,
you're already panicking.
You're panicking.
Right.
And if you're a fan, you're allowed to panic. As a fan, you don't need Joe Blow on the radio or some guy writing in a newspaper or the team to tell you how you're allowed to react. You want to panic? Go ahead and panic. You don't want to panic? Then don't panic. But there were a lot of people that were thinking that this team would come out of the gate flying. Hasn't happened.
I agree.
I'm not panicking, but I'm like, there's got to be a run here sooner or later. To get this thing, when did it happen last year? It was late last year, wasn't it? Well, middle of June?
Yeah, they were 50-51 when they made the Tulowitzki trade and then the Price trade, and then beyond that, it was over. But last year, the run differential, the offense, the analytics, a lot of people were looking at them and saying, they're better than this. Like, the record doesn't make sense. Right now, that is not the case.
They belong exactly where they are.
For the most part. I mean, they've made some basic mistakes that have cost themselves games. So it could be a different record right now, but it's not like they're playing out of this world baseball and they're just getting cheated somehow left, right, and center.
I've always appreciated, as far as an athlete goes, if you're the team's best player and you want to come out and give a status update in your team and say that things... I like when at the end of it, they always, a lot of them will say, and it starts with me.
Yeah.
Whether that's true or not, because that just doesn't seem like you're saying, I'm getting the job done myself. I don't know what the hell everyone else is doing as far as their preparation. I just always like when they would say, it starts with me. I got to be better myself.
Yeah.
Lie your ass off. Tell a lie. But just follow that up at the end.
Right.
So it doesn't get to your teammates thinking, this guy's protecting himself. He's all fine and dandy, and we got to pick it up.
You're not separating yourself from the group. And that's – I just – how's Joey Bats playing?
Very well. Him and Donaldson have been outstanding. It's everyone else that is kind of causing problems. I mean, that's not completely fair. There are guys that are having good seasons, but their bullpen collectively has been a disaster.
Garbage.
Outside of Osuna. Russell Martin's not hitting. You know, Tulowitzki's been hot and cold. They've already filtered through leadoff hitters.
Right.
You know, their starters, R.A. Dickey's been an unmitigated disaster. So they've had some guys who were, like, really off their career numbers and their career averages. And from that standpoint, you still have to see where this is going to go. I mean, it's 23 games out of 162. But Donaldson coming out and saying, we got to do this, we got to do that. To your point, though, even if he's like, and it starts with me, no one actually believes that because he
just
has
toss it in there for your team, for everybody.
I know, but if you're a teammate, do you really believe that? Like, if he comes out and rants and raves about how poorly prepared they are or how poorly they're playing, and then you look at his stats and you go, oh, he's playing like an MVP still.
Dude, it's a bold-faced lie, but I don't like the separation.
We talk about Henrik Lundqvist.
What's the point, though? What's the point of the bold-faced lie if your teammates know
because
it's a blatant lie?
Because I think his teammates will look at it and say, wow, this guy's all good. I guess we all got to get our you-know-what together.
Exactly. Like
they think that anyway, probably.
What it does for the mindset of the room is, to me, it separates yourself from them, and you don't want that.
All right, Dirk Hayhurst is joining us here, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. This Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Dirk, when you consider how well Donaldson has been playing all season, when he comes out and he talks about his teammates and his team and the struggles, even if he drops the gratuitous, hey, it starts with me, does anyone actually believe he thinks that he is the problem?
You know what? I know that no one thinks he's the problem. I mean, it's nice. It's like, it's that trying to be endearing. You know, I'm perfect, but sometimes I work too hard. I want it too bad. It's like in an interview when you're asked to say a weakness. Sometimes I just want it too badly, and I just push it, you know, and I try and work myself too hard. Whatever, dude, shut up. You're perfect. That's what you're trying to say. We all see it. The one thing I do like about Donaldson, though, is that he didn't just say we need to make adjustments, like some arbitrary, nebulous thing. He said we had guys come in here and left-handers. The Blue Jays had left-handers, and Chris Sale, I think Donaldson actually said those exact words, but left-handers throwing mostly fastballs should not come into one of the best right-handed power plants in baseball and shut them down like they did. That is a stone-cold fact, and it's not debatable. So you can say we all have to improve, and it starts with me, and that sounds like a bunch of BS. That sounds like I'm just trying to say something or do something or, you know, I'm trying to endear myself by acting humble when I'm not. It's a total humble brag. That would be a total humble brag. But he backed it up with numbers that really show I dug into this. I mean, look at our strikeout percentage. It's horrible. Look at us not hitting fastballs. And most power hitters are saying, you know, throw me the fastball. Give me your fastball. Give me your best. See what happens. This is something that power hitters live and die on. They want that heater. And they got it. Back-to-back days, they got it. They got a steady diet of heaters from a left-handed guy, so there's no righty-on-righty deception there. It was lefty, straight fastball, tailing away into the sweet spot of their bat, not knifing it on their hands, and they still couldn't get the job done. So if you're Josh Donaldson and you're paying attention to this and you really want to win, yeah, okay, you can debate it. Is he genuine? Is he not? But the fact that he did his homework, to me, says that it's more genuine than not. It's more, I want to actually win. I want this team to get back to being good, and here's where we can improve. And that may not be the status quo with players, but I really liked it. And I think the other players should really appreciate the fact that he's paying attention to those kind of numbers and not just saying nonsense.
All right, what's your take on why they are striking out at the rate that they currently are?
Okay, so this is a team that's always struck out a lot. Before last year was kind of like an aberration if you look at the couple of years before it. This team has always been, I hit the long ball or I K. It was like J.P. and Cebes syndrome. It's one of the reasons that he was such a desirable player because he fit that demographic of, you know, swing in case you hit it, and if you do hit it hard, hit it as far as you can. And that never really worked before because you had a lot of feast or famine. So I went back and I looked at the K percentage of last year's Blue Jays team. 2015, 18%. That's your strikeout percentage, right? 18%. And this includes the entire team, guys. Pitchers that were hitting, guys that were called up from AAA at the end of the season. It's the entire season's K percentage. So let's look at this current club of all-stars. We don't have a lot of pitchers out there. You don't have a lot of call-ups, okay? This is straight MVP caliber bats hitting, and they're at, what, 27% K percentage right now? That's a 9% jump. That's horrible. That cannot continue. And so I don't know if the assumption with this team was, I'm just going to go out there and it's only going to be a matter of time before this clicks and I start crushing balls over the wall and it'll be a return to that like glory day that was the later half of the 25th season, but that's not how this game works. You have to go out there and grind it bats out. You have to spray the ball around, even if you're a big bat. And then suddenly when you start getting some momentum under you, then you get to take those big cuts and do damage. But I just don't see that same caliber team right now. If you're going to swing and miss this much or just take this many pitches and go sit down, it's not going to work.
With Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. We were laughing a little bit about how, you know, there's fans out there asking other people, am I allowed to start panicking? Is it too early to panic? If you're asking, you're telling us you're panicking. And there's nothing wrong with that. As a fan, you can do whatever you want. I mean, you don't need guys like you and I to tell you how you're supposed to feel. If you want to panic, you can panic. If you want to be patient, you can be patient. But where's your head at, Dirk, when it comes to 23 games? They've played poorly. They've made a lot of mistakes that are certainly fixable. They're a talented team. They're not in this crazy division that is just outrageous in terms of depth and talent. Where are you at with the panic debate?
Okay, so I'm not panicking, and that is because I've played this game long enough. I've watched this game long enough to know that it is still very early. But there are some signs that kind of freak you out a little bit, right? First of all, there's this. We have to challenge this assumption that this team is the same team. It's going to be the same team on paper. Just because it's the same team on paper, it will be the same team on the field that it was last year, right? There's been some upgrades in the bullpen, haven't really gotten the job done. Kind of scary out there right now. It's very volatile. You've had some guys in the starting rotation that have done their job. The bullpen isn't there for them. Dickey is just flat-out horrendous right now. And I think one of the scary things about him is that it's not like, you know, he's out there throwing a lot of strikes. He's having some contact. It's that this is just blowouts, right? He's just getting waffled. Like, something has changed there. And if he doesn't fix it fast, you're looking at a guy who's sitting on a 6 ERA, you know, in the first 3 months of the season. That's not going to help you. So I think we thought that this team – okay, let me preface this. This team that you see right now was very similar in a lot of respects to the way the 2015 season started for the Jays as well, though. There were some scare factors there as well, and they got hot at the right time. And that is what tempers my panic level. I'm concerned, but I also know that if this team keeps pace with the rest of the league, which honestly is fairly average right now, okay, and they keep right around that 500 mark, and then they do figure it out halfway through the season and they get hot, guys, it's not about having the best team wire to wire. In a season this long, it's about getting hot at the right time, being in striking distance of that finish line. And I think this Jays team, if that offense does click and this rotation continues to do what it's capable of, if it gets hot at the midpoint of the season, they'll drive it to the wire and they'll be in the post again. But if they continue to let these little things go unchecked, that's not going to happen.
Great stuff, buddy, as always. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
There he is, Dirk Hayhurst, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. This Baseball Insider was brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, conveniently located at the QEW and Trafalgar Road in Oakville.
What do the baseball stats say about the sustainability of that approach, either long ball or nothing? I mean, it can't.
Well, that's the way the game is played, though, in a lot of ways. I mean, you swing
long
for the
ball
fences.
Or nothing?
Well, look at what they did last year. Like, it can't actually literally be long ball or nothing. You're going to have to move runners over.
Yeah, like he said, grind it out.
Certain players have to grind it out.
Well, I don't think Kansas City's approach was that.
No, it's not, and it worked very well for them, and it still does. But Donaldson, Bautista, Edwin, you want them swinging and swinging hard. It's when you get guys up like Kevin Pillar who's swinging for the fences, and you're like, you're Kevin Pillar.
Right.
Like, you're not capable. You can't hit 40 home runs. So stop trying to hit 40 home runs. Right? Like, those are the guys where you got to see them elevate and maybe change their approach, and we'll see if they have it in them. Bob McKenzie will join us in studio at 6:20. Maybe
nice.
We'll do the puzzle with Bob. We'll
you
see if
so?
Bob is in the mood for a puzzle today. And we have a special guest who's going to join us in studio for a few minutes.
Really?
A special guest?
A special guest. We'll do that next.
But I'm a creep.
So Radiohead bringing us in. There's a reason behind this. Kara Wagland's in with us. Explain this, K-Dub. Why are we listening to Creep by Radiohead?
Is the biggest creep out there.
O-Dog?
O-Dog.
That's nothing new.
He poked the bear today. He started something that I don't think he can finish.
Okay. Talk us through us here.
What happened?
So O came over. He did a SportsCenter hit with us, which is awesome. We were happy to have him. During the hit, we were talking about Sidney Crosby v. Alex Ovechkin tonight. The question was, Game 7, who would you rather have as your teammate? He picks Sidney. I follow up by saying, that's nice. Between you and Noodles, I would take Noodles as my teammate.
And I said, that's a joke because he's a goalie and they cost you more games than they win you more games.
Depends if you got a good goalie.
Okay.
Not regardless.
Me, somebody else.
I don't know if I upset O or what happened. My scripts were unsupervised on my desk.
By the way, I did that before we even started the hit. I don't even know what that thing is. I know there's some things you probably have to read on it.
I know, but you don't know what it's like to be a host, how difficult it is.
Yeah,
I just wrote at the beginning, I'm a loser, people. Just I thought she would see it before she went up there and think nothing of it.
So what happened?
My day is busy. I don't get get the time to read my scripts ahead of time. It's a lot of cold reads, and a lot of people will go and make notes, whether it be phoneticizations or things that were added later. So it's not weird to see scribble and handwriting on your scripts. I get up there, it's the final script of the show, and I go to read it, and at the top I see, I'm a loser, people, and I was 2 seconds from Ron Burgundy in this thing and reading it live on SportsCenter.
I wish you did.
Yeah, and that would have been great.
I actually would have felt bad because it was just supposed to be a little thing where you read it, and it was kind of goofy, but...
So you almost played the part of Veronica Corningstone, and yes. You almost Burgundy'd Kara. Is that
what if I got
saying?
Fired? Wouldn't you feel bad?
If you wouldn't have got fired for saying, I'm a loser, people...
Yeah, but what if you really went offside? Like, what if you put an F-bomb in there and she said it on the air? Would you go in and bite the bullet to HR and say, fire me instead?
Not a chance.
You're such a gutless weasel.
I love how there's 1,000 people in there, and she comes right to me and said, why did you do this?
Because they're all mature over there.
I knew right away.
She would have to get a handwriting expert. Yeah. That's what would happen.
Well, it looks right like the chicken scratch of a 5-year-old. That's how I knew.
That's your grade 10. It's in.
Loser is spelled wrong. So
loser, LOOSERR.
Anyway, well, I just wanted to say, be aware, be on high alert now because you've started something.
Well, we have a question for you. Are we got to go?
You can be quick. You're rapid fire.
Just give us your panic level for the Blue Jays. We were talking about that briefly.
Like a 4. Talk to me in a month.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Fair enough.
She's lying, I think, but it's totally reasonable.
It's fine.
You're so full of it.
Sounds like a girl that's actually, she's not mad at you.
She's
or she hates your
actually
guts.
So nervous about the Blue Jays.
It's a 7 out of 10.
All right, Kara. Well, notify us next time you try to get him back.
I will.
And we'll get you back in here and can Corningstone him.
When he least expects it. That's
all right, perfect.
Coming.
K-Dub, you can see her every day, 5 p.m. on SportsCenter.
For a half-hour show, that's it.
Final hour up next. Third hour of the show up next. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
I'm Ron Burgundy.